Matthew chapter 6. Something I was going over this morning, and I know I've ministered on it before, but it's always good to have a refresher on some of these things. And then, if you remember it, that means, number one, that you were listening, and that number two, you have a good memory. So, I feel proud if you come up and say, "Oh, I heard you speak on that before." You won't be hurting my feeling, but the Word of God cannot be exhausted. There's always something new and fresh that comes out of it, and I trust it'll be a source of encouragement. Enlightenment, perhaps, would be the best word today as we read Matthew chapter 6 and have just a short Bible study while we're here. Appreciate your prayers for me, especially last Sunday night. Got so emotionally caught up in the message, and I wonder sometimes if it was more thunder than lightning. I'd rather have more lightning than thunder, because the lightning is what does the damage. Power comes from the lightning. Thunder only gets the credit. People were more afraid of the thunder than they are of the lightning. Isn't that true? So you pray that the Lord will use it for His glory, and I wonder sometimes if it was more thunder than lightning. I'd rather have more lightning than thunder, because the lightning is what does the damage. Power comes from the lightning. Thunder only gets the credit. People were more afraid of the thunder than they are of the lightning. Isn't that true? So you pray that the Lord will use it for His glory, regardless. "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Now, we won't read the chapter, but we read it as we go on like that. It would save time, and we'll be able to pinpoint some things a lot better. What we'd like to speak on this morning is what we are not to be deceptive in or hypocritical in. And all of us have part of this in us, because that's the manifestation of the flesh. We don't want to, but sometimes we fall into the trap. Now, I have to say this in the outset, that when you do something for the Lord, when you give or whatever it is, it's not always possible for you to do it privately. We know that. And isn't it nice to know that the Lord Jesus didn't say that you will not have any reward? In fact, He said just the opposite. Whatever you do for the Lord, even if it's openly or publicly, you have what? You have your reward here. So you got a reward. You get the applause of men. You get a pat on the back. You got somebody will come up to you and say, "That was a very good deed you did," you know. So the Lord is so gracious. The thing is this, whatever we do for Him, I'm not talking about the person who gives arrogantly and out of a proud heart, you know. That's different. They're not going to get any reward. In fact, you could see through that yourself, you know, because we're not dumb. We know when people not really doing it in the right spirit or attitude, not that we should be judgmental. But the Lord is asking us to focus on a lot of things that we do behind the scene. And you can't see it. And it might be the menial task in the assembly. It might be something that you consider finite, small, insignificant, but God does it. Because it was done in the spirit with the right motive, God says, "I'm going to reward you in that day publicly." Isn't that marvelous? So don't get discouraged if you're called upon to do something or you're doing something that people don't really see. You're going to get a greater reward. I did refer some time ago, and you'll remember this, I'm sure, like some things you do, you can't avoid being seen or recognized. When I went to Bermuda this time, I was shocked. I always told people or tell people that the island that my brother donated and formed an association was $3 million. But he put way over $1 million in building the buildings there. It is a spectacle. spectacular island. Because with the island value and what he did, it's over $9 million. I didn't know that. And not everybody knows it. And they say, well, Mr. Perry done a good thing. But you know something? It doesn't bother him in the slightest. He knows the scriptures well. Well versed in the Bible. And he knows too that those are the things that's for the glory of God. He had his reward. He doesn't expect any reward for this. He really doesn't. But you know something? What about the souls that are saved, have been saved, will be saved? You know, behind the scenes. Who's going to get the credit of that eventually? All of them, even the donor of the island. See, yet to be seen. God support, whatever you do. Don't want you to raise a flag. Don't want you to make a lot of noise about it. Just do your alms quietly and graciously. Your Father, which seeth, I like this, he seeth. God sees. Man may not see it and you get discouraged, you know. But God sees everything you do or everything that you've done. And he says, and I'm going to reward you. And that day opened him. I have a lot to say about this. I'm not going to use some of my worn out illustrations and I won't bore you with that this morning. For they are good, but I'm not going to tire you. But I got to tell you one of them, all right? Permit me to tell you one. All right, Ross, can I tell one? Fine. Okay. Remember the great golden mouth preacher of the age, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, tremendous man of God. And while he was at the door shaking hands with the people, this great celebrity, a woman of nobility, if you will, wealthy, extremely wealthy, and she said, oh, Mr. Spurgeon, how I enjoyed your sermon this morning. And she took out a gold sovereign. And a gold sovereign, I don't even know what it's worth, but anyhow. She took out the gold sovereign. She handed it up high like this where everybody could see. She said, as she handed it to him, the widow's mite. But people stopped, of course, shaking hands with the pastor, wondering what the world was happening, what was coming next. And he said, thank you, madam. Ah, but madam, the widow gave 2 mites. Oh, yes, she said, how forgetful of me. Reached her hand in her dainty purse with her dainty hands. Took out another sovereign and said, here you are. Just then the great preacher said, madam, the widow gave her all. That woman was so red-faced, sunk down in the crowd and slipped out of the entrance of that cathedral, and I don't know if she was ever seen or heard of since. The mighty Spurgeon didn't mean to embarrass her, but it was just that it was so blatantly public where she wanted the recognition of what she was doing. And by the same token, don't judge people who do something and you might judge them wrongly. The same man, for instance, Mr. Spurgeon, he was selling eggs. He had raised eggs. And the people said, do we not pay him enough salary? And they went to town. You know how it is, town gossip. It's no different then it is today. No different today as it was then. And they thought that the great preacher who have getting what they believe a lucrative salary from the church and selling eggs. But it was later revealed, because Mr. Spurgeon wasn't a man to reveal all that he was doing for the Lord, but they saved the money and they were supporting a widow up north of that particular town. You see? You can't judge people. Well, you never know what they're going to do either. But the idea Jesus is saying, do not be hypocritical, number one, in your donations. Do it to the glory of God and do it heartily. Heartily. But I hear some preachers get up sometimes, give until it hurts. That's unscriptural. Lord loveth a what? A cheerful giver. And I want to point out something here this morning that's very, very a burden on my heart. I want you to understand that Sunday morning when you come to break bread, a lot of believers don't understand that your money is part of your worship. So you might say, I'm not going to give this morning. You may have certain reasons why, but what you're doing is you're cutting short your worship before God. You could take the cup, you could take the bread, you could do that, but I'm going to tell you, you have what we call a crippled
worship. Do we really understand that what we give to God is part, it belongs to God?
So you're giving, what you're saying, Lord, I want to give you your portion of how you blessed me as the Lord has prospered, so let him give, and you bring it to the breaking of bread service. That is part of your worship. That's very, very important. Okay? Please keep a good focus in that, and the Lord will bless you and honor you for it. I'm sure he will. That is an important point. Now, secondly, we must hurry on. Verse 5 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." I'm glad of this verse because it doesn't say if you pray. It says what? When thou prayest. It's not taken for granted. Prayer is not an option. It's not something I can do or I cannot do. Prayer is a must. It's a necessity. It's compulsory. Every believer must know something by prayer. Of course, reading the Word, I don't even have to mention that this morning because you know how important it is. The Bible is when God speaks to us. Prayer is when we speak to God. It'd be sort of lopsided if all I did was pray and not read the Bible, or if I just read the Bible and never prayed. It would be divided. It wouldn't really be in tune at all with the demands of the Lord. If he speaks, then I speak to him. The wonderful part about it is you and I have the privilege to come, and our mediator, our advocate is none other than the Lord Jesus himself. Isn't it nice to know that we have an advocate with the Father and our high priest in the heaven, and he's listening to our prayer. I can talk to God today. Oh, beloved, when you think of that, what a privilege it is. So he says, when thou prayest, you enter your closet, there you have your period, the time when thou prayest. The privacy is a place. Shut your door. You know, I tell you, beloved, more and more I find it difficult to shut the door of this world. Even the thoughts that will just crowd your mind, even when you're in prayer and you're in the privacy of your room. Sometimes it's extremely difficult, but stay with it. Stay there. Shut your door. Shut out the things of the world, time and sense. And all the clamor and distraction, business and otherwise. And just get before God. 5 minutes even. 5 minutes. So valuable. Pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Then he goes on a tremendous list. He gives us a perfect example, what we call the disciples' prayer that he gave to them. First part of the prayer is Godward, and the last part is manward. Always good to start off with God and exalting the Lord and then go on making your requests. Beautiful prayer indeed. Then verse 14, the conditions for this prayer. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Solomon. Very self-explanatory. You don't need me to explain that. Then verse 16 says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash your face, that you may appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Openly. Beautiful when you think of it. As to the discipline of our life and our bodies, even in prayer, we need to be very, very humble about it. A lot could be said about that. But we want to get to our directives. As we have in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth, rust, doth corrupt,
where thieves break through and steal. And so if I'm not to be hypocritical in my donations, neither in my devotion, neither in my discipline of my body, and certainly not in my directives. Verse 20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, beloved, I know that perhaps our island is one of the most blessed islands in the Bahamas, or the chain of Bahama Islands. And I believe there's a reason for it. I mean, not only because our people work hard, you're diligent, and you know your trade. God has blessed you with gift. And the fact is that you're not lazy, you work hard at it. I realize that's not 100% so, but those who are not working people and are lazy, you see where they are today, don't you? It tells. But basically speaking, our people work hard. One of the things I always admired from the very first time that I came to the Bahamas, Spanish Wells especially, I saw this laboring people. And God honors laboring people. God honors working people. And now so he has blessed us, even in the face of turmoil and tragedy. And I'm not going to throw a dark cloud deliberately here this morning, but I just want you to be conscious of something, beloved. I want you to keep a perspective, a long-range view, which I hope will never happen, but could happen. We are living in difficult times. You know that, don't you? Don't put your stock. This is what Jesus is saying here. Don't put your stock in your treasure. You may wake up tomorrow morning, may not be that quick, and find out your dollar is only worth 25 cents instead of a dollar for dollar. You know, when we're conscious, as Christians, we say, I'm aware of this. Don't even think about retirement. Don't even think of way ahead, you know. No, live for the day, honor God for the day, and I have to break in here and take you to the last part of the chapter, because this is important. Look at the last part of the chapter in verse 33:2. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Read it with me, everybody. Important verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That to me is the most appropriate verse in the days in which we live, right now. So if it ever was a time where we need to get our focus on heaven and our focus on the fact that this world is transient and everything about it is transient, that it's fading. You and I are pilgrims and we're going home. So let's have a genuine focus, who we are. Seek, I know you've sought first the kingdom of God, but let's seek his, what? Righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know what you're going to meet in heaven? Our righteousness that God has given us in Christ. That's what we're going to meet. That's what you're going to be rewarded for. That's what you're going to be blessed for. So get your priorities, or get your focus on this, that our directives will be to please God with our treasure, and God has blessed us with, and we should be happy with our blessings. After all, if God has blessed you, it would be ridiculous to go around with a long face. It's good to be happy that he's blessed you, materially speaking. It is not wrong to rejoice in your material blessing, because God has blessed you. Recognize that. But on the other hand, you want more blessing? Honor him. Honor him. For him that honoreth me, what? Him will I also honor. And I want to tell you, beloved, if you want the real honor for God, I'm not saying that you take all your treasure and all of a sudden you're going to dump them in the treasury of the Lord. No. But just honor God, keep a good focus, realize that everything in this world is fickle, thin, and nothing substantial about it, and you're not going to put your stock in it to the point that your faith in God will waver. You want your faith to increase along with your treasure. You want your prospect to be as bright now with your blessing as it ever has been. So when the storm, if the storm should come, and tell you it doesn't look good, but if it should come, you're ready. You're prepared people because you got your focus right. See? If you have your focus right, you can wake up in the morning and still see Chorazin. I hate to talk about the old days. Some of the old folk are here. Allison laughing. He must be one of them. But you know, you remember the days when you had the old wood burning, cooking on the... Nobody had gas then, cooking gas. And there was a time with no electricity. I was born in the poorest, I should say, brought up in the poorest parish in Bermuda. We were the last ones to get electricity. Thought the lights came from heaven, but they finally came. Everybody else had them. And the old lanterns. Freddie probably remembers when he was a little boy. Had electricity, but those days were tough days. Hard days. I wouldn't like to see him go back, but I wonder what it would be like with our children. I saw a boy flashing $20. He said, I'll buy that. He said, I'll take it. I'm not going to tell you what it was. Well, yes, I'll tell you. Candy. Flashing a $20 bill, I thought, my mind went back. Man, when I got my first sixpence, I was able to buy an ice cream cone out of it because the ice cream cone first came around. We never saw one, and I remember my first ice cream cone, and like a fool, I was trying to lick that thing slow to make it last. I don't know if you all did that. Maybe you weren't as silly as I was. But I had to lick it a little faster because it was melting, and I sure wasn't going to let any of it go to waste. So I began to lick a little faster, and in no time, my sixpence was gone, my ice cream was gone, and my face was spattered with milk all around, even running down my chin. But oh, I can remember the thrill, you know, of my first and only ice cream cone to I don't know how long after that. Sixpence, 6 cents. Some of you old folk know what I'm talking about. Sixpence, 6 pennies. Poverty, I hope it never, never comes back, but I wonder how people will fare if it did come. Oh, may God help us and just to trust Him, get our directives right. Listen, listen to the Word, not mine. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your heart this morning? May it be for the glory of God, all right? For the glory of God. Verse 24. Here is a divided heart. If I am to be effective for God, I must really watch out for this one. It says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now what the Lord is saying here is, I want you to be careful not to be anxious, over anxious. He's speaking about anxiety. Nothing can produce anxiety if you worry about tomorrow. You can't handle today, much less tomorrow. Why cram tomorrow in the day of? Somebody asked me recently, said, aren't you supposed to be with us in November? I said, November? I said, wait a minute. I let my book do the work. I write it down, and then I come to it. I say, oh, yeah, I'll be with you in November, so-and-so, so. Give the date. You see? But I am not going to be occupied with word. I pray about it. I know I'm going to be a certain place. I just pray. I commit it to the Lord all of the time. But I never worry like that about tomorrow. But you know what I do sin in? The little things of today. Don't ask my wife. We've been married 53 years today. 53 today. Thank you. I wondered when I was going to get that. We wouldn't get that. I appreciate that. Why do you think I threw it up? But as you get older, it's the little foxes, the little things, you know. You have to ask the Lord for grace, for strength, and for patience as you get up in years a little more. I think sometimes it's the pain that Emily has and I have, and, you know, little things like that may be. But we're learning to grow graceful together, but it's not really easy. Really it isn't. But I want, at least with God's help, to learn what it is not to be over-anxious. He said, behold, and I have to remind myself of this all of the time, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet their heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies, listen to this, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? I guess you listen to the, used to be Discovery Channel, but you know where they have all the animals in, and I can't get over sometimes, they're always worrying about animals that are nearly extinct. And yet they constantly portray the lions crouched in the grass. The caribou and the different creatures, the antelope that comes there to drink water. I probably watch that station more than any other station. Those lions are just crouched there. And there's their meal before them every day. All of a sudden he takes off with power and strength. And one grab around the throat of its victim, crushes it, brings it down to the ground, drags it over to the den, and all the lions begin to chew. But you know, they show that like that's the way it's supposed to be. Ready-made meal, man. He runs out and he gets it. And yet all the creatures of the forest and the jungle, this is repeated again and again. The cycle, how they get their food. The great anaconda snakes, when it's mating and becomes pregnant and gets one last big meal, maybe a hog, crushes it, swallows that great creature down. You see that where it's about, maybe 3 feet like that, where the anaconda swells to abnormal condition, seemingly, and doesn't eat any more until the babies are born. Isn't it amazing? No, doesn't eat another meal. God provides for the anaconda. He provides for the lion. He provides for the little insect. And all of them, no matter how small it is, they seem to be just there waiting for their meal. And it comes right in front of them. Snake, deep, little snake, big snake, deep, small snake. And it goes on. But God is talking about the vegetable kingdom now. You can understand those creatures. They have to make an effort to get their meal, like mankind. But not the lily. The lily grows stately, depends on rain. And it grows up and it produces that beautiful flower with its fragrance. The sun comes out, God providing, kisses each blade, each leaf, and now the flower itself. And it's so stately in its appearance, beautiful. And Jesus is saying, look, Solomon in all of his glory is not arrayed like that lily plant. Because God saw fit to take care of it. It neither what? Toils, neither does it spin. But it's arrayed with such glory. And he's teaching us a lesson. I don't want you to be over-anxious. I don't want you to be worried. I don't want you to get all uptight. Do what you have to do. Trust the Lord. Lean on him. And if he takes care of the sparrow, if he takes care of the lily, he says, surely, surely, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more? If you think he's done a lot for the lily and done a lot for the grass and did a lot for the animals, what he's saying to us now, to us, his believing children, but much more to you. See, you're special. Much more. He's going to clothe you. Much more he's going to feed you. Much more he's going to take care of you. It's always much more with God when it comes to his believing people, when it comes to his church. Much more is he going to be with you. His divine presence, his divine protection, and his divine provision. That's why he plunges us into a verse to remind us in verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's the world. You see, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows what you need. And this is true, like I've said over and over, you must never equate spirituality with prosperity. But he does prosper his children who are faithful, and you honor God. I know you do. You really honor the Lord. One thing I've proven is, nearly 44 years that I've been with you, 43 years to be exact, that I've been with you, you do honor the Lord with your substance. But you know something? This doesn't necessarily mean, though, that we're honoring him with our life. Oh, I don't mean you live in sin, but it's so easy to just go through the motion and live a formal life, just formality. What I believe we should be, and the preacher included, is to know what it is to walk with him in fellowship every day, a constant, intimate, fellowship where we could just talk with him and enjoy the Lord, you know. And not to call on him like when we get a flat tire, that spare tire in the back of the car. You never think of the spare tire while you're driving, do you? It's only when you get a flat, you hear, pow! Alright, you get out, think of the jacks, and you think of the spare tire. Sometimes we treat God like that, you know. And at least some people do. Get caught up with God, and even for prayer. How many people pray for us? And that's the only time they think of God. I can't judge, I agree. But a lot of times you never see their faces in the meeting, you never see their faces going to church. They hear the word of God, and all of a sudden when something happens, they think of God. But isn't it nice to know to be conscious of the Lord every day? So no matter what comes, it doesn't catch you off guard or unprepared. You are ready because you're living in tune with the Lord. You're walking in fellowship with the Lord. And so that you're not like the Gentile. And you know your Father knows that you have need of these things. Oh, may the Lord just encourage our hearts today and learn what it means to live in the humility of the Lord. It's a very difficult subject, knowing when one is humble. You got to be careful here. Maybe when the test comes, God gives you humility. It's very difficult to try to imitate humility. You can't. Only the Spirit of the Lord can do this in one's life. So may the Lord encourage us then and walk with Him day by day in the light of His Word, and just quickly go over these things. The next chapter is beautiful as well. You can make a study out of it. So we need to be aware not to be hypocritical in our donations, not to be hypocritical in our devotion, now the discipline of the body, our directives, that is, lay not up treasure for yourselves on earth, or even our divided heart. No man can serve two masters. And he goes on to speak of living a life free from anxiety. May the Lord just bless these few thoughts to our hearts this morning. The whole thing is a total dependence upon God. May we learn this today, just to depend on Him, and I'm sure your heart will be encouraged and blessed. Father, we thank You indeed for Your Word. We thank You for our class this morning. We pray indeed that You will encourage each heart, that we'll be able to walk in absolute fellowship with Yourself, especially in the light of present day circumstance and happenings in our world, as we're so closely tied to the United States of America. Even the economy in Nassau is very thin and fickle. People are worried about their mortgages and the tourist trade and hotels that are closed down. We ask, O God, that they too will learn what it means to trust in the living God. And if hard times should come, that we might trust You for everything, because You promised to take care of us. And we thank You for this. We ask, God, that You be with the President of the United States of America. An awesome responsibility to think of those poor people whose lives were just snuffed out into eternity because of terrorist hearts who have no regard for human life and are bitter, angry, and hateful. And to think, Lord, they do this in the name of religion. We pray for America today. Remember those poor victims, parents and relatives. Think of those dear people, Lord, that they put up pictures of their loved ones on billboards and asking firemen and different ones, have you seen my father? Have you seen my brother? Or have you seen my husband? We shudder, Lord. You wonder what it's going to be like in the rapture. And they will be running from house to house in Spanish Wells, looking for their loved ones as well, and they're not to be found. We plead with Thee, Lord. Oh, God, send a revival, an awakening in our land where man will call upon the living God and be saved. Many have heard the word, Lord. Oh, God, speak as only You can. We ask it in Jesus' precious name.